You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and it's Charlie Dobbin here today with a special guest, Lindsay Nightingale. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me, Charlie.
So, that Franklin man, I hate him sometimes. He's in Florida.
Nice, especially today.
Poolside, probably got a mojito in hand as I'm speaking, knowing Frank. So, yes, good for him because it started to really snow on the way down here.
Definitely.
It's kind of, yeah, it's gray. It's gray sky, lots of wind, but it was like flurries, you know, really right down the lake. Obviously, lake affects snow because it was certainly very dry up at my place.
Toronto in November.
Yeah, a little unpredictable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little up, little down. So, listen, lots going on. Before I make the announcements of what's happening here in the hort world, you're going to be Frank today, so your job is you want to give everybody the phone numbers to call to, you know, say hello, share with us something that's going on in their gardens, good, bad, or indifferent.
Perfect. So for a local call, please call 416-360-0740, or if you're phoning elsewhere in Ontario, it's 866-740-4777. Oh, my goodness, I'm pulling dyslexic there for a moment. Let's try that one again. 866-740-4740.
Well done, well done. That's Lindsay Nightingale of Yorkshire Garden Services, and she's going to tell us lots more about what she does and how she got into this business. But for starters, let me just remind people some things going on. Monday, November 12th, the Oakville Hort Society will be hosting Liz Primo. You know Liz.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Wonderful woman. She will be their guest speaker in Oakville on November 12th. She is well known as an author, a magazine editor, and TV host. She will have all her books with her for purchase. One is In Pursuit of Garlic, which is a great book, actually.
Neat.
An intimate look at the divinely odorous bulb. Speaking of bulbs, we're going to talk more about bulbs.
Yep.
My Natural History and Front Yard Gardens, Growing More Than Grass. She was very innovative, mm-hmm. You know, 20 years ago or more. She ripped out the whole, all the front turf in her suburban home in the Oakville area and turned it into a garden. It was like, you know, way ahead of the crowd. So yeah, Liz is pretty special. So that's happening at the Knox Presbyterian Church, which is located at 89 Dunn Street in Oakville. That is, of course, I don't have a time here. Never fails. There's always something I'm missing. Monday, November 12th, Oakville Hort Society. Next day, Scarborough Garden and Hort Society. Tuesday, November 13th, it's an annual general meeting. There's an election of the board members and a free presentation entitled Decorations for the Festive Season by Sheridan Nurseries. Refreshments, of course, are included. Guests are welcome. Doors open at 7. That's at the Scarborough Village Rec Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. And then the next day, the Riverdale Hort Society is meeting November 14th. They meet in the Frankland Community Center, which is at 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth. The speaker that evening is Kevin Cavanaugh, owner of South Coast Garden. He'll be sharing what he has learned about zone pushing in their trial gardens, and that's at 7 o'clock. Again, everyone is welcome. And one more thing is the Chrysanthemum Show on all this month of November. That is running now right through until, where's the date? The 26th of November is the last day. Of course, it's open to the public, free admission. It's really cool. Centennial Greenhouses, if you haven't been there.
Beautiful place.
You know what? On a cold winter day,
absolutely.
Swing by, free parking, free access. Just walk in. There's birds singing, there's water running, there's all kinds of tropical plants and flowering plants. It's not a huge greenhouse, but it's a show greenhouse owned by the City of Toronto, open daily, every single day, you know, 365 days of the year, 10 to 5, and that's located at 151 Elmcrest Road. So that's the Rathburn and Renforth area. Alrighty, that's what's going on there. And okay, now my job is, typically Frank will be on top of this stuff. We do have to just take a quick little short break for our sponsors, but we will be right back after this. You're listening to The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And we're back. So I'm here with Lindsay Nightingale. Just to remind everybody, Frank is in Florida and we all hate him. Now, he took the bell with him on holidays, obviously, because that's the kind of thing Frank would do. We have Marianne calling from Hamilton and she is a first-time caller. So, Lindsay, can you be the bell?
Bring.
There you go. Perfect. Welcome, Marianne. You have received your garden wings as per Lindsay's bring. What's going on in your garden?
Hi. I have a pussy willow bush, tree, whatever you want to call it. And it's gotten very leggy. It's a fairly new one, but it's about 10 feet tall at this point. When do I prune it?
Have you got a large yard? Like, did you plant this pussy willow?
Yes, I did. It came from a cutting.
Oh, yeah. They're easy to grow from cuttings. That'll be pussy willow for you. All right. So you planted it because you want to get some pussies in the spring to make some bouquets and things, or just you were looking for privacy? What's your intention?
No, I just wanted to cut it to get the pussies
right
in the spring.
So that's going to be your time to prune it. Wait until whenever spring arrives. It might be March. It might be April. You'll be out there with your pruners on a dry day taking the cuttings you want for your decor. Then you're going to stand back and maybe get out your loppers and do a harder pruning on it. Because remember, that's a plant that's going to grow a minimum of a meter a year, maybe more, depending on the kind of rainfall, etc. So looking at where you've got it, the space it can grow in any given year, what you want is to prune it just once a year, and you want to prune it in the spring. So prune it so that when it grows next summer and fall, it's fine for the winter, and then spring of 2020, again, you're out there pruning for your decor. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Now, it's planted on the south side of the house against the brick wall.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
How close to the brick wall?
About 2 feet away.
Oh, that would not be my first choice. Remember, willows are famous for having very vigorous root systems.
Okay.
So a very vigorous root system is a root system that grows very fast and very dense. And that close to the foundation, like the brick wall, I'm assuming is your house?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have that vigorous root system that close to my foundation, because you know what roots do, eh? They move through the soil looking for moisture, and they can cause damage to foundations.
Yeah.
Okay. So when can I transplant it then?
Spring. When you're doing that pruning, just prune even harder than I suggested. This is a tough plant. Well, honestly, you don't even need to transplant it. Just stick one of your cuttings into the ground wherever you do want it to grow, further away from the house, and start again.
And remove the one from the brick wall.
Yeah, that's right. Dig up the one you've got there so close. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, thank you. Have a great weekend.
And thank you for your call. That's a good question, actually. You
I
can
like
just sort
one.
Of envision what's going on there. But I'm glad Marianne called, because that would be a bad place to have a willow in,
definitely,
you know, 5 or 10
yeah.
years. Definitely. Here, let's do those numbers one more time. We've got open lines, so
okay.
come on down, everybody.
Please call 416-360-0740. If you have a question, and if you're outside of the Toronto area, try 866-740-4740.
Perfect. Thank you. That's Lindsay Nightingale. She's here from Yorkshire Garden Services. That's what she does on the side when she's not being my sidekick on the radio. We're going to find out more about what Yorkshire Garden Services does. But first, let's just have a quick chat with Pat. She's calling from Whitby, and she also is a first-time caller. So, bling, there you go. Welcome, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
What's going on in your garden?
I have brought a bougainvillea into my kitchen, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think, sort of went into shock because it's lost a lot of its leaves. Mm-hmm. But there's still some on it. Now, I'd like to know how to winter it. Can I put it in my basement where there's low light, or in my cold cellar?
That's an option. There are kind of two options. One option is keep it alive, put it in the brightest, sunniest window that you've got, treat it as a houseplant. That's one option. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have like a bright, sunny window, like for example, what kind of sun gets into your kitchen?
Well, the south, but I don't really have room for it there.
Yeah. So then the idea of putting it into the basement, into darkness or semi-dormancy, requires obviously a cool spot. It's a bit of a challenge because it will lose, of course, all its leaves when you put it into the dark. And as long as it's cool, like, you know, almost
would
refrigerator.
Would the cold cellar be too cool for it?
Well, as long as it's got to be above zero, I would say anywhere between about 5 and 10 degrees Celsius. So what's that? 45, 50 Fahrenheit would be optimal to keep it alive but dormant. So trim it
all
back.
Would I cut it back?
Yes.
The tallest branches are about 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
So it's growing on a trellis?
Is it a tree, like growing on a trellis form?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So you're going to need some help getting that downstairs. Once you got it down there or before you take it down, absolutely cut it back. Yeah. If it's as much as 5 feet tall, I'd bring it down by half.
Yeah.
Into that cool cellar. Make sure that it's not bone dry so that it has been watered. But then again, be careful that it's not soaking wet. There's a kind of a fine line. And check it every couple of weeks. It knows. Plants are kind of magical. Even if they're in the dark, they know when spring comes. They know when the days start getting longer. So it will start to grow. Probably February, March, maybe even late January, you'll start to see a little bit of green. When that happens, you're going to have to allow it to grow. You're going to have to bring it upstairs.
Bring it back up into a sunny location.
And start watering regularly.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome.
First one, and I would really like to keep it.
I'd like you to call in the spring and let us know how that turned out. All right, that's your homework.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pat. Don't be a stranger. Call anytime. All right, you know what? We do have to take one more quick break, but remember, there are lines open, so give us a call at 416-360-0740, or toll free 866-740-4740. We'll be right back after this.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are. It's not just Charlie Dobbin. I've got Lindsay Nightingale with me. Lindsay, I've known you for many years. We did many jobs together, Canada Blooms, over the years, and have, you know, obviously shared a lot of things with our horticultural backgrounds.
Yes.
Give us an idea. What does Yorkshire Garden Services do? What is your career? Tell us.
Wow, that's actually two different things.
Let's start with what Yorkshire Garden Services does.
Yeah. So we've been around for about 18 years, and we do fine garden care, tree and shrub pruning, potscaping, garden renovation for our residential clients. We deal mainly with residential clients within Toronto, York region. We do some farm properties, some farm estates as well.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that. I have a crew of about 8 in the high season, 4 in the low season. And right now we're so involved in bulb planting and fall clean up and just getting everybody's gardens put to bed and dormant for the winter.
And I actually arm twisted you. You're going to come and address my students at Durham College next week, right?
Next week, yeah.
And these are the second year students who the course is called Contemporary, or I think it's called Historical and Contemporary Garden and Landscape Maintenance.
Yes.
So you're going to come and talk about the kind of maintenance that your company does, which is very specific. You have a very specific niche.
We are a niche. Yeah. We don't do any snow and we don't do any lawns. We just do what we love, and that's everything to do with gardens.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And so you're able to keep 4 people through the entire 12-month
cycle? No, unfortunately. I wish we could keep people on full-time, but we're seasonal. Mm-hmm. So we go from mid-March right through to this. Usually we clean up and we're finished by the first full week of December. So unfortunately, it's the nature of our industry at this point.
And so how does that work? You have workers who, you know, go to Mexico for 2 months or take a holiday and then are available to come back to you?
Some of them, yeah. One in particular, she does web design in the off season. My long-term staff, she takes the winter off. So she's off. And we meet periodically throughout the season, of course, to do planning for the following year, and we talk about contracts and what needs to be done on property. So there is probably some work that goes on behind the scenes, because it's I rely on my staff. I can't do everything myself anymore.
I don't
anymore.
Think so. No kidding. Well, and potscaping, of course, that would be a lot of seasonal containers.
Absolutely.
Be doing.
We love doing potscaping. So again, it happens around Easter time, early spring. And then May 2-4 weekend, we usually start, or we're just ramping up for the summer stuff, and then Thanksgiving, and then the winter pots. So whether it's for Christmas or whether it's just a winter display, and that's where we're heading to shortly.
After the bulbs are
shortly,
in.
Yeah, the last week of November, we're just like booming for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, Carolyn DeVries, who has been on the show as well. She owns and runs Tradewinds International, which is a bulb importer. She came out to also speak to my first year students this past week and brought what was left over in her inventory, and that was a truckload of bulbs.
It's going to be amazing.
So I had 40-odd students over a four-hour period plant close to 4,000 bulbs last Wednesday. So it's going to be gorgeous. There's not a bulb on that campus. So that's the Whitby campus where I teach. It's a pretty new campus, and we have bees. And I was feeling very sorry that this was the first year with the hives. There's nothing
around there,
in the spring. Oh, God, we're right on the 401.
Yeah.
There's nothing around. It's a wasteland.
Yeah.
So I was really pushing for bulbs, just thinking about the bees.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then there's the sidebar, which is that they're going to be beautiful.
It will be. It'll be just such a showstopper because the quality of the bulbs coming out of Tradewinds.
Oh, gorgeous.
And just the show they do in the spring is
big,
fantastic.
Big, healthy bulbs.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Very, very, very cool. Well, look, we do have some people on the line. So let's say hello to Joan, who's calling us from Mississauga. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. I have a question about my butterfly bush. Mm-hmm. This is my fourth attempt to grow one, and this year it's about 4 feet tall. Should I wrap it for the winter?
New. They've died over the winter in the past few
years?
Everyone,
yes.
Tell me where you're planting it. What side of the house?
Well, it's got the morning sun and probably maybe 4 hours a day.
Okay. Which is the minimum amount of sun you'd want. You'd really prefer a little more.
In an area where there's the prevailing wind, so in the winter it gets pretty cold.
Well, if it's on the east side, it shouldn't be getting that much wind. The wind typically comes from the northwest, unless it's on that kind of corner of the house.
Well, it's against a fence at the back of the property, and the prevailing wind blows straight across it.
That might be what's doing it.
Yeah.
It is a Zone 5 plant, and in Mississauga, you likely live in Zone 5, depending how far south you are to near the lake. The closer you are to Lake Ontario.
On the north side, really, near the 401.
Yeah, so you're Zone 5 for sure. If this one doesn't survive this winter, don't wrap it. That's not going to make a difference. You can mulch
it up.
Yeah. Okay.
So just get some garden soil, triple mix, anything that, just a reasonable quality soil, and put a little mountain at the base, a little hill, might be 10 inches tall to start. Mm-hmm. Just pour that whole bag of soil over the crown of the plant, and then leave it for the winter. When it snows and rains, that little hill is going to get smaller. It's going to wash away to some extent. In the spring, you will take it all away.
Okay.
And at that point, you'll also trim it.
In the spring?
We prune them in the spring based on what's alive and what's dead.
Okay.
Sometimes it takes a little while to find out what that is. There's often one of the last plants I get to in the spring is the butterfly bushes, because you wait till you see where the green is and then take everything out and leave the green. So a mild winter, you can have very little dieback. Mm-hmm. A cold, cold winter, 90% dead.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least it survived last winter, so.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then you know what? It'll probably continue to survive.
The first time, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. If it's made it through 1 year, like Lindsay said, it's likely to make it through another winter.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. All right. Look at that. Just solving problems everywhere.
Well, and the ice storm that we had killed so much. We lost yews, we lost butterfly bush, anything.
The one like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, this was weird. This winter, remember it was so wet last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't really have a proper autumn. The leaves didn't drop. We didn't get fall color. There was no sort of slow down because it never got dry enough and cold enough. And then suddenly got really cold.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shrubs that died.
Oh, we replaced on one property. We replaced like 200 linear feet of
yew. of you this past winter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw a lot of dead wajilla, of dieback in the Japanese maples. Yep. And people, you know, they blame themselves. They blame the designer. It's like, no, that was a total weather thing.
With the wajilla, that's a good point, because our wajilla in my front yard died. I cut it all the way back and the shoots came up.
Yeah.
So
the roots,
wajilla.
Yeah, the root often stayed alive. It was just everything above ground was dead. Yep. No, absolutely true. All righty. Well, so we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's see what's going on in Scarborough. We have Vincent on the line. Good morning, Vincent.
Morning. Yeah, I want to know how to take care of these small things as the base for ranunculus.
Are they blue? Are they flowering right now, or are they're bulbs?
They are little tubers, if you ask.
Yes. Okay, did you have them out in your garden and now you've brought them in?
Or? Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I had 5 last year, and I planted them, and only 3 survived.
Mm-hmm. And did you buy them as tubers originally?
Yes, those wee things.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty, it's like anemones. You ever see anemone?
Oh, I know. It's like,
this can't possibly be alive. It's just this little wrinkled brown thing.
Yes.
But they're pretty magical that way. So overwintering. So they were outside, lovely blooms, gorgeous actual flowers. You brought them in. Did they get a little bit of frost? Like, did you dig them? When did you bring them in?
Oh, in October.
Okay. And so had they had any they hadn't any frost at that point?
No.
So you forced them into dormancy by bringing them in and cutting them down?
No, they actually dried down before I dug them up.
Interesting. So, I'm just, you know what? It's been a long time since I overwintered any ranunculus for the winter. So, I'm just quickly looking here. Outdoor pots. Oh, I'm going fast there. You know what? Off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure that you treat ranunculus exactly the way you would treat like a canna lily or a begonia. And that is, remove all the foliage, so you've got just the tuber, the little wrinkly tuber. Get yourself some sterile media, so that's going to be some potting soil, like in the bag still, not already been used, or peat moss, something that's absolutely clean and sterile. Well, no, I'd moisten it a bit. I wouldn't have it bone dry. I'd moisten it a bit, and then I would bury those little tubers into that potting soil or peat moss, whatever you've got going on there. It'll be dark under there, which is going to keep it dormant and cool. You want a cool spot, frost-free, but cool. And they will not grow. They'll just sit there quietly all winter. When you want to get them growing, March maybe, you'll take them out, pot them up, give them some sunshine and a bit of water, and they will start to grow again.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Thanks for your call. That's a good call, actually. Anybody wants to call and say, no, I have better success doing it the following way, that's fine, too. Because, like I said, it's been a very long time since I overwintered any ranunculus. That's pretty funny. All right, where am I? Come back. There we are. Time check, 9:34. I'm with Lindsay Nightingale. Would you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into this business of beautiful potscaping and Yorkshire garden services?
Wow. So moving into horticulture was a second career.
Mm.
So I started in the not-for-profit world working as a volunteer coordinator and manager for various organizations, and thought, wow, starting to fight against burnout. Mm. And I thought, okay, how can I change? And I've always loved gardens. Gardens have always been a big part of my family, my best friend's family, my great-grandmother. So it just was sort of a natural evolution, I think. And then when I heard about the program being offered at Humber College, I applied. I went through it full-time. So I quit my job, had my kids and my husband, and just quit cold turkey
went to
school full time. I was doing my homework at the same time as my kids and graduated.
And that's the Hort Technician Program?
The Horticultural Technician Program through Humber College.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it's a two-year full-time program. That's what I teach in at Durham. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So that was, I graduated there in 2002. Worked for a couple companies, worked on a golf course, did landscape lighting with a fantastic company called Moonstruck.
Mm-hmm.
And went out
Bob
on my
Tubby.
Own. Bob Tubby, Carl Hastings, Conrad. And then went out on my own and started very small. me,
yeah.
my truck, and a couple of clients, and some referrals from Arbordale Landscaping.
Right, and doing maintenance. No construction, obviously. No. That's not something you would want to do.
No.
But yeah, just like you're saying, doing what you love, which is the pruning, the planting, the caring for, the meticulous attention to detail that I know you're good at.
And detail, going to that point, is that we also have now a program that we've just started as a result of calls from our clients. So we have a client service technician that will go out and fix the gate latch, or you know, we'll level a paver stone that's popped up. We'll repair a fence. Just really small handyman type jobs, and so that's starting to to increase. It also extends the season a little bit more and keeps people employed a little bit more too.
Wow! Yeah. So that's one of your staff who does that on the side when they're not
doing
pruning or planting or whatever.
Yeah. And depending on the week, it can be a full time thing.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Just, it's a really
I bet you people
program.
Appreciate that.
It is. It's really it's going to take off. I know it is.
Yeah.
Because it's so simple to, instead of, you know, trying to struggle.
It's so hard to find a good person. And, you know, there used to be a company called Rent-A-Sun.
Yes.
Which, as far as I know, does not exist any longer. But it was a really good idea. It was just that, you know, the idea that you could call somebody to clean the eaves troughs.
Exactly.
Right? We do get to a point when climbing the ladder to clean the eaves troughs is just not a good idea.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do?
You've got
to hire somebody, and where do you find somebody? So, so that's
little
great.
Things like that. We try not to, we stay away from cleaning eavesdropping.
Do you? But okay, I take that back.
Don't promote that. But we'll fix your gate latch.
There you go. Good to know. Well, if you need your eavesdrops cleaned, my son is about 12 feet tall. He's really good at it. Call him. All right. Let's, before we go to our next break, let's just check in with Siva. She's calling from Toronto. Good morning, Siva.
Morning, guys. I have a dogwood. It's over 20 years, and I've never cut it back because it's been a beautiful camouflage for my balcony. But I notice it's losing leaves. What should I do with it?
So talk to me about what kind of dogwood. Is it one of the ones with the green and white leaves?
Yes.
So it's a it's a big shrub. So it's a massive big thing. Got red stems in the winter, I imagine.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, it's just losing leaves, like losing leaves early in the season, you mean? Or at the bottom, probably?
Each year I notice, like, there's less shade in my balcony, you know? Like, it's the type of tree where if you look into my balcony, you don't see me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beginning to become sparse in some areas. So I don't know if I should cut it back.
Yeah, cutting it back is going to actually be very invigorating, so that's going to help it grow more.
Okay.
It could be also that if you haven't done any pruning over the years, dogwood are pretty vigorous plants. They tend to be get a lot of crisscrossing branches inside the center of the plant, which ultimately is detrimental to the health of the plant.
Okay.
So what I would do if I were you on a nice dry day in the spring, you know, it can be any time, can be March, April, May, get out with your pruners, very specifically look for branches that are rubbing together.
Okay.
So you don't want any crisscrossing, any damage being done by the plant to itself. Anything that's clearly dead in the spring as well. So right away, the dead, the diseased.
And the crossing.
Anything that's looking, you know, very poorly that way. And also anything that's growing into the center. So you want to open that plant up. You want it to get air and sunlight into the center of the plant.
Okay.
Then you're going to actually probably cut it back down the
How
longer
far?
Branches. At the most, a third.
Okay.
So, you know, and cut down to an outward facing bud. So then as the next growth starts, it's going to grow to the outside as opposed to the inside of the plant.
Okay.
So you want to open up the center to encourage growth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And health, right? Because leaves will grow in there. You just don't want such a mass that they end up shading each other and then they get all diseased and they all fall off. You want it thick and bushy.
I will cry because I love the shade it gave my balcony.
It'll come back.
It will. It'll come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much
more vigorously.
And consider fertilizing in the spring when we are fertilizing all our garden plants. You know, certainly give this guy a shot too.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your call. And I'll tell Frank you called. Steve is a pretty regular caller.
Yes. Good.
All right. We do have to go for one more short break, but we're not going anywhere. So coming right back at you with more tips for the garden with me and Lindsay Nightingale.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
It's true. Charlie Dobbin and Lindsay Drake Nightingale is here. I've just been corrected.
Got to put that other bird in there.
I'm so sorry. Yes, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, Lindsay Drake Nightingale. That's very, very apiary of you. No, not apiary.
This Avery.
Aviary of you. So welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you.
This has been fun, eh?
Yeah. This is a really interesting experience.
Yeah, good. You're doing well, just so you know. I mean,
no,
you know,
M's, no Oz.
No, we try to avoid those. No, exactly. You're doing fine. So, listen, we have numbers. You give the numbers one more time.
Okay, let's try it here. We'll do it properly. 416-360-0740 if you're calling locally. And if you're outside the GTA, 866-740-4740.
There you go.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you. And we do have Gloria on the line. She's calling from Toronto. Good morning, Gloria.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Glad to hear you've got your voice back.
You're right. I had a cold for a number of weeks there.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this is about my girlfriend's lilac tree. She doesn't have, she can't get your station, so I'm calling for my girlfriend, Jean. Her husband, she said she wanted this lilac tree to be trimmed. Well, he trimmed it.
Oh.
And it's down to about 8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
8 to 10 feet, that's it. And I asked her, does it have branches coming out from the trunk? And she said, yes.
Okay.
Is this going to die on her?
Probably not. How big was it before it ended up 8 feet tall?
I'm not quite sure. It could have been maybe 15 feet, something like that. It wasn't too large.
So, and her husband did this recently, like in the last week or so?
He just did it this week, yeah.
All right. So when you see him, can you slap him for me?
Well, that's what she wanted to do, but I wait till I get on the phone with Charlie and maybe she'll come up with a solution.
Well, no, you know what? If it was a healthy, you know, healthy, vigorous tree, lilacs tend to be quite strong and quite vigorous and difficult to kill. So I wouldn't worry that it's going to be dead. It's the timing of that pruning.
Yes. Like I said, he pruned it this week.
Yeah, the best time to prune a flowering shrub or tree is after it flowers.
I know, that's when I do mine. Yeah.
Right, and that way you don't lose the flowering. So what's going to happen, of course, next spring, it should pop out with all kinds of green leaves, but it will very likely have no flowers because that got pruned away.
Okay.
Not the end of the world. I mean, it just means you miss a year of flowers, that's all.
Oh, she's going to be sad about that.
Yeah, so that's why we slap him, just because of his timing.
I think she will.
But nothing wrong. You know, lilacs do need to be, they can get pretty out of control. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to prune them, but usually wait till just after they bloom.
Now, you know, I didn't get a chance to prune mine. I didn't have the chance. I had a problem in my home with some water damage, and I never got to prune them. But that's happened to me before, and they seem to pop out anyhow, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to prune when it's not the best time, just because of construction or something going on, lifestyle. Things happen.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, when she slaps him, do it gently.
I'm going to make her laugh and tell her what you said.
Because pruning is, like we mentioned, just with the dogwood, Siva and her dogwood, pruning is very important for plants.
It sure is.
And it's very invigorating as well. It's that right thing to do. It often makes a plant healthier to prune it. Provided the pruning is done appropriately.
Clean cuts. Definitely.
Sharp
clean
tools,
cuts.
Yeah. Dry day. Yeah. You know, these clean are all tools. Things that make a difference for the plant to actually benefit.
You can't prune this time of the year.
Sure, you can. Yeah.
Can I prune those little the flowers? But they're dry, you know, but there's some of them I can still see. I could prune them.
Well, are they like perennials, you mean? Or are you talking about lilac still?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about lilac or some perennials?
The lilac.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? That's called deadheading when you take away what were the flowers. Because what happens, of course, is seeds get set. So all those little bits and pieces that are hanging on your lilac are probably lilac seeds.
Okay.
It takes a lot of energy for plants to produce seeds, and you're not going to grow those seeds. Mm-hmm. So always try and cut them off before the seeds are set, right after the flowers are finished.
Because I'm looking out my window, and I can see the dead lilac flower, you know, but I just didn't get to trimming them. This one is pretty high, and I can get the bottom ones, and I'll just have to leave the top ones.
All right. Yeah, no, it's a good idea. Definitely, if, as long as it's not snowing or raining at your place, and you got some nice sharp pruners, perfect idea. You can definitely do that today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ah, thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. Very interesting. We're all over the map with these callers,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah,
good,
great.
Some great questions. I think we should probably, we do have one more break. Might as well take that now. And then we'll be back with Bill, who's calling us from Newmarket.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are, not just Charlie Dobbin, but with me I have a special guest, Lindsay Drake Nightingale, on behalf of Yorkshire Garden Services, which is what she does on the side when she's not being my co
sidekick.
Yeah, co radio host.
Thanks for having me today.
Oh,
Charlie.
My pleasure. Yeah, you've done work for me actually along the
yes.
way for some of my clients. We've sort of crossed paths on many levels over the years. Right. Oh, let's see what's going on in Newmarket. We have Bill on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, ladies. I love your show, Charlie.
Thank you.
I've got a fantastic little 6-year-old grandson living in Etobicoke, close to 427 in Burnhamthorpe.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you suggest to take him? You mentioned earlier, and I didn't write down the address, a greenhouse with the birds singing and so on. There's free parking, free admission.
Yeah. You've got your pencil handy?
I do.
All right, you're going to be going to something called Centennial Park Conservatory. So
okay.
Centennial Park is a huge park in Etobicoke.
Uh-huh.
It's the actual greenhouse is located at 151 Elm Crest Road. So one word, Elm Crest Road. It's in the Rathburn and Renforth area. Centennial Park was actually created in 1967, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that's got the ski hill, which is made out of the old landfill. Site, so that it's a man-made or artificial ski hill. They have they do a lot of sporting events there, particularly.
Swimming?
There is a pool there for sure, and I know my son did track and field things there. That you know, when it would be bringing the regions together.
Right.
It's a very large park, but the greenhouse is at 151 Elm Crest Road because it's acres and acres of park, and you just put that into your little GPS, and that'll take you right to the front door of the greenhouse, and it's a great outing.
What about Newmarket? May I push my luck and ask that?
Sure. What's going on in Newmarket?
Pardon?
What about Newmarket?
Yeah, what's your question about Newmarket?
Oh, the same thing. Is there a greenhouse where one can go and enjoy the visit?
Not in the Newmarket area.
No way.
No, but they do have the public works opening. They open their greenhouse in the spring.
Oh, yes.
But you can't go into it in the off season.
No.
But they'll do a public works day where you can go through all of their buildings, and one of them is the greenhouse in the spring.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some great retailers in the Newmarket area. Just going out to visit them, even at this time of year with all the Christmas stuff going on.
Yeah, they do the Christmas displays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at some of the greenhouses, New Roots Center on Yonge Street, just south of Davis Drive, they have an indoor area as well. So it'll be filled with poinsettias and Christmas trees and
ornaments
and things like that. So.
Well, I was in Lowe's the other day and I couldn't believe the amount of animated figures. They've got a whole display and all the kids are so cute. Because the kids are all like, you know, patting the teddy bears and, you know, just interacting with the creatures that are on display.
Yeah.
So
terrific.
So yes.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Have fun. I'm glad you're looking for outings with your grandson. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You're not kidding. He's terrific.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. I always remember when I worked at White Rose Nursery a long time ago. We used to sell the gnomes. Remember the gnomes?
Yes.
Gnomes were like really.
Yeah. We have a couple clients that still have gnomes tucked in their garden.
And I bet you they got them at White Rose. And they came in all different sizes. Like there was the little ones, but the biggest one actually was about the size of your average 3 or 4-year-old child.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know, good-sized gnome. And it was so funny because, you know, they'd be, these gnomes would be in the store just standing around.
Yeah.
And the kids would talk to them.
Like absolutely. They,
because they're eye to eye with the, with this creature. And so, and they walk up and they go, hi there. And they'd get into this whole conversation with the gnomes. It was really cute. I wish I'd, it's before the days of cell phone videos, but if I'd had a cell phone that had video capabilities, I would have been for sure taping that because it was too cute. So, so that's pretty fun that you've got clients with gnomes. I like that.
Yeah, just sort of tucked in.
And you tuck them along.
I don't know if we tuck them in or they tuck them in, but yeah, we still see them around.
Yeah, no lawn jockeys though. I hope or not so much.
No. I don't think anybody has one of those. But it's just we have clients that have garden ornamentation.
Sure.
Some of it is just like outstanding.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the ones that are quirky and kitschy and stuff. But
somebody gave it to them or they found it somewhere. Yeah. It was their great grandmother's. Yes,
well, that's it. Yeah. Whoops. Especially the what they were called, the witch's balls.
Oh, the reflective things.
Ones. Yeah, we've got a couple gardens that have those, and I know that one or two of them are quite old too, which is neat.
Yeah, it's so funny though. Or gazing balls, I guess
they're also called.
Yeah. So the challenge with those was how to use them. And I think once in my garden tour days, I actually saw where it was absolutely perfectly placed. And it was the idea of the gazing balls, I think, is you want that little sort of corner that's small and maybe, you know, hedged in or fenced in. It's a small space. The idea is for it to reflect and make the space feel bigger.
Yes.
So that it does act like a mirror. And, you know, we do see mirrors used quite a bit in the garden to expand on that small space. So those gazing balls, placed properly, can be quite pretty, but to just kind of stick them in the middle of, a courtyard in the middle of sort of the front lawn doesn't make sense. It's got to be doing some kind of reflections.
I recall my great-grandmother having one in her rose garden.
Oh,
so
really?
It was the centerpiece in her rose garden. So you'd look in it. And again, gazing. And as a little kid, it would reflect all
the colors
flowers.
Of the roses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it was kind of
because you tuck it in. Like it's plant
it's
height.
Tucked.
Yeah,
yes.
It's got to go down at the height where you're going to get that impact. So that's very cool. All right. So what's going on with Yorkshire Garden Services? You're still planting bulbs?
We're doing a few bulbs. We have a couple clients. Due to all the rain that we've had, you get bogged down. You know, and I say to my staff, just get November done. However, whatever order you get it done in, that's all we can do, you know, when you're competing with the weather. But bulbs, we've done, we still have one property that still needs bulbs and will be pretty well finished.
But you mentioned you've been having quite a few clients that hadn't been planting bulbs suddenly this year are thinking about bulbs.
One property, we'd never done bulbs.
Wow.
And we've had the client for about 5 years and I put out the note and she said, yeah, can I get bulbs? And so we planted like 1,500, 1,200 bulbs for front and backyard. So it'll be neat.
And when you put out the note, did you say something about this being a pollinator friendly thing to do? Like, could you use some kind of a idea that way?
We didn't do that, but that actually is a very valid thing because we're doing a lot more of the pollinator type gardens, more native stuff now. But we just do it for beautification, you know, get rid of the slush and look
brighten,
at the beauty.
Yeah.
So, but definitely because it is
early spring,
that it definitely would work better for the pollinator and focusing on the bees.
Well, exactly. That's what always worried me. And I have a lot of bulbs at my place and I love it. Like I love when all these crocuses, I have a lot of early stuff come up.
Mm-hmm.
My front yard is just a buzzing when these flowers start to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you look around my neighborhood and everybody's, it's like a wasteland, you know, it's like yellow turf and a bunch of, boring evergreens. Anyway, look, we're at a racetrack.
Wow,
that's
we
it.
Are too.
Pretty fast
Thanks
hour,
a lot,
eh?
Charlie. This has been a lot of fun.
Well,
and
I'm so glad you were able to come.
If Frank's ever away,
I'll keep you in mind. Thanks a bunch, Lindsay. And thanks, Sebastian. Thank you. Thanks to our great callers. Couldn't do any of this without them. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.